Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, we too, being dead in offences, has quickened us with the Christ. We are saved by grace. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, teaching us that having denied impiety and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people zealous for good works. And Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation? How shall we escape? Think of these men. Many of us have been horrified this week at what happened, that crash in the Alps. Think of these 150 persons. No escape. No way out. Sudden destruction. These things shock people. But I want to tell you tonight that if you don't have Christ in your heart, if you don't know Christ as your Saviour, you are in a very similar position to them. Because this world is heading for judgment. And we don't know when it'll happen, but it will happen. That's a certainty. The only difference is that you have an opportunity to escape tonight. It's offered in the glad tidings. We are all sinners and we need a Saviour. And as sinners, we deserve judgment. And as sinners, we'll receive judgment. Paul speaks about Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. That's the way of escape. It's through faith in Christ, who's offered as a Saviour tonight. Now, would to God that everyone here would be aware of where they stand in the sight of a holy and righteous God as a sinner. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself or what other people think about you. What matters is what God thinks about you. And you're a sinner. That's the divine view. That's the truth. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. By one man, sin entered the world. And by sin, death. And death has passed upon all. For all have sinned. Nobody has escaped death. Nobody. You may live long or short, but you won't escape death. And you can refuse Christ throughout your life. But remember this, that when you die, you submit to the will of Christ because he rules over dead and living. No wonder death is the king of terrors. But for the believer in Jesus, death has no fear. How shall we escape? You know, it's a great day in your life when you realize that God loves you. God loves you. Think of your life going on as it is. And doing nothing is not an option. You'll end in a Christless eternity. But God. I love that, you know. God has intervened. He's intervened. Will you allow him to intervene in your life tonight? Change the course of things. Think of the Lord Jesus, you know, here in manhood, outside the city of Nain, reaching out his hand and touching the bier of that dead youth. And the bearer stopped. Think of the whole train of your life being turned around tonight through coming to Christ. It can happen. Would to God it will happen. I challenge you. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know for sure? If you trusted the finished work of Christ and that precious shed blood on Calvary's cross, did he go there for you? He went there for me. That's why I can stand here tonight and tell you the remedy. His blood availed for me. Angels are not entrusted with the glad tidings, you know. They're not. They're messengers, some of them. But they're not entrusted with the glad tidings. Why? Because there's no salvation for angels. There's salvation for men, sinners like you and I. But God, allow him to intervene in your life tonight. Recognize what you are as a sinner before God, because sin is against God. You need to recognize that you have an obligation to a creator God. You belong to God because he created you. But you know, man was lost to God through the incoming of sin, and he was driven from the garden. He could not be in that place where he could have access to the tree of life and live forever in sin. You know, you can have access to the tree of life tonight through coming to Christ. That sword, you know, flame of the flashing sword went through the soul of my Saviour in order that the way to the tree of life might be opened up. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That means you are perishing. That's what that means. That's what that tells me. That apart from Christ, I'm perishing. But have life eternal because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Think of God unable to communicate to his creature how he loved them, finding no way they could bless his creature righteously until Christ came. You know, before I could understand how God felt about me, my Saviour had to go to Calvary's cross. That's what it took, that I might understand the love that the blessed God had for me as a sinner. Can you take that in? God commends his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Was there anything that merited that in you or I? Not a bit of it. No one ever deserved mercy, you know. You don't deserve mercy. Mercy, you know, anticipates some great need in your heart. And grace is a sentiment in the heart of God to meet that need. The grace of God, which carries with it salvation. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us, we too being dead in offences. Maybe you don't think of yourself as dead in offences. You know, the Roman is active in sin, therefore he can be recovered. Romans is a book of recovery. But the Ephesian is dead in offences. He cannot be recovered. He needs to be quickened in Christ. That is brought back to life. That's what God has done in the glad tidings, provided a Saviour for you tonight. You know, marvellous, isn't it? But God changing lives tonight through his intervention. But you know, you need to come and open the door of your heart and accept Christ by faith. Come by repentance. There's no blessing without repentance, you know. If you want to see the disaster that comes about through blessing without repentance, read about David and his son, Absalom. I'm not going into it, but just look it up and see what happens. Blessing without repentance, but in God's things there is no blessing without repentance. And so you must come by way of repentance. That is accepting what you are as a sinner in the sight of God, and come and accept Christ as your Saviour. Faith in God, faith in Christ, and repentance towards God is the way of blessing. I'm not going to be long, as people get the flight tonight, and I don't want to scare them either. But I love this scripture. The grace of God carries with it salvation. That is, you know, that the grace of God is being carried to every corner of the globe tonight. That's what's happening. The grace of God, it's everywhere. It's available everywhere. Hymnwriter could say it's flowing o'er the barren place where Jesus died. The gospel began at Jerusalem. That's grace. The very first people to hear the gospel were those who rejected Christ. Carries with it salvation. You know, the Lord was the embodiment of this, wasn't he? The grace of God, the kindness and love to man of a Saviour God appeared in Jesus, and he carried that grace to where it was needed, you know. Think of the people that Jesus met, how available he was, carrying that grace to Sychar's well, carrying it to wherever it was needed, carrying it to Worthing tonight, the grace of God. What a day this is, you know. Salvation for all men. That's the heart of God, you know. All have sinned, but all are offered salvation through faith in Christ. There's nobody outside the pale of blessing. You know, you have to check yourself, don't you? You think of these men in the Middle East, these ISIS people, and you think God's judgment should come in. And you know, that's out of step with the dispensation. Do you think that you're any better than them as a sinner? Not a bit of it. Even if you're just a 50 pence debtor, you need the full cleansing power of the blood of Christ to make you fit for the presence of God. And these men could still come to Christ. You know, these men, these Christians that were beheaded in Egypt by the sea, every one of them died saying that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. There was a testimony, a powerful testimony rendered to these men. Who knows what God can do? The vilest can be saved tonight through the blood of Christ. Don't think that you're any better than them. You know, carries with it salvation for all men has appeared. It appeared in Jesus. There was no other way for the blessed God to tell out what was in his heart and his desire to bless his creature. Jesus had to come. He came into manhood. He lived a life of absolute perfection. What a study the life of Jesus is. You should study it, you know. You should study the Gospels. Never stray far from the Gospels and never stray far from the cross. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me. The very best was offered up. Him who ye spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. That's what God did. At Calvary's cross, he poured out on the head of his blessed son the judgment that was due to you and I as sinners. And Jesus willingly took it on. You know, no wonder Paul speaks of a great God and Saviour. We've read of a great love. We're reading of a great Saviour. David says, or it's said of David, he's laid help upon a mighty one, upon one who is mighty. Think of the greatness of Christ. There was never a shred of doubt that he would carry out that mighty work of salvation. He came committed to the fulfillment of the will of God, whatever it took, and it involved the agony and shame and suffering of Calvary's cross on your behalf and mine, that you might go free tonight in the sure and certain knowledge that your sins have been borne by Jesus. What a great Saviour. It's to have an effect on your life, you know. You don't go on as if nothing had happened. You know, the Lord drew that woman out, didn't he? If I could only touch the hem of his garment, what faith you had. Just touch the hem of his garment. I'll be healed. I'll slip away. No, the Lord draws her out, doesn't he? He wants to have you in communion with himself. It's not just coming to Christ once, you know. It's a lifetime commitment to a Saviour who'll see you all the way home. It's to change your life completely, you know. We should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. You know, he's coming again. He's no longer in death. Death couldn't hold him. Death had no power over him, although he went there for us. You know, the sting of death had been removed by Jesus, but it was known by him. The awfulness of death as a punishment for sins was known by Jesus as he went there for us. But he came out triumphant at the earliest possible moment. Think of that. Raised by the glory of the Father. You know, the Father's glory claimed Christ from the dead at the earliest moment. A risen, glorious Saviour. You know, if Christ is not raised, you're still in your sins. There's no gospel. We might as well go home. There's no hope if Christ is not raised. But I present a living Saviour to you tonight, and one who's coming back for all who love him. Are you among those who love Christ? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Is your name written in the book of life? For a day, you know, when your name is written there, the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. Never. Can't be saved today and lost tomorrow, you know. How insulting to the work of Christ to say such a thing. You come to Christ tonight, you'll be saved for eternity. What a Saviour Jesus is. Are you waiting for his return? Does the hope of his return have an effect upon your life? Do you go on as if you're going to be here forever? Let us commit our lives to Christ tonight. If you've never come before, come and trust him as a Saviour. If you're a believer in Jesus, and maybe you don't love him quite so much as you did when you first came to him, come again tonight. Come again. He still loves you, you know. His love will never fail. Never. Never. It never failed here as a man. It never failed through the sufferings. It never failed through death. His love for you will never fail. You know, and he'll never let you down. I would urge you, dear believer, to commit your life to Christ. Surrender completely to Christ. I know you're setting out in life and you're doing things and you're studying and you've got a career and all these things. But in all these things, commit your life to to Christ. It's more important. What a saviour he is. Saviour for your sins. But a saviour, a present saviour. Through the present evil world in which we are. A world that's heading for judgment. How shall we escape if we're negligent of so great salvation? You won't escape if you're negligent. Persons are careless. Very careless. They take great care about their retirement and organising how they're going to live and have a good life then, and have no care for their never dying soul. How shall we escape if we're negligent? Don't be negligent tonight. Come to Christ while you still have opportunity. For his name's sake. Great God of all wonders, all thy ways are wondrous, matchless and divine. But the blessed triumphs of thy grace, most marvellous, unrivalled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? We sing the hymn, 262, someone start it please.
Great God of wonders.